several things I want to say. I usually just start right in the middle of the lecture. But I'm making a tape. We're making tapes. And several people have asked that they have a copy of them. And this is the proposition I have to make to you. They're free. As far as I'm concerned, you can have it. But if you could kind of get together, bunch together on some kind of a proposition, there are companies, I understand, that would run these off for you at about $2 or $3 a piece. I think that. I don't know that. That's what I heard. But if there were a number of people that wanted them, now I'm not trying to sell you these. This is a gift. And if you want it, why, you just kind of get together in some kind of an idea and fix it up for yourself, because as far as I'm concerned, you're welcome to the tape. That part won't cost you anything. I want to say to impress upon you and everybody the simplicity of this thing called truth. It is not a new thing. It is not a newfangled thing. It is not something that was invented in the 19th or 18th century. It is life. It is a life substance. A person that has never read a book is just as eligible to have it manifest through him as a person that has read every book in the world on the subject. The simplicity is so great that it sort of stuns people, because they have been taught that this is a system. I have to learn a system. I have to learn this one or that one or some other degree. And so until I know how to do that thing, manipulate that thing, I will be unable to do it. Well, the trouble is with most of it is they've been trying to manhandle God, and they're finding out it isn't a very easy job to do. Now, one of the things that is told to you is that the wisdom of man is foolishness in the eyes of God. That, like every other statement that Jesus made, has become a worn-out cliche. It is just simply you've heard it so often that it just goes by like that. The wisdom of man is foolishness in the eyes of God. Yes. Well, you say, well, so what? So what? When you went to school and the teacher, after a certain time, and you came to an examination, we'll say in geography, and the teacher said to you, what is the shape of the world? What did you answer? Well, you answered round. Of course, that isn't true. It was a sphere. But you answered round, didn't you? And you got your grade, and so you passed. But I see in the paper last week, and I brought it to you, it says here, by the authorities that know these things, that Mother Earth is more nearly the shape of a pear than a sphere. How do you like that? I read that and I said, well, isn't that funny? In order to get my grade, in order to pass in school, I then had to tell a lie, or some more foolishness in the human mind. And so I see that down through the whole picture, this thing is true. The lying human mind. It says it has to work for a living. That's a terrible mistake. It has to hold on to a little bit of health it has shut up in its body. But this pear-shaped thing intrigued me immensely, because I thought that they flew to the North Pole in order to shorten the distance between two points, from the top and down, instead of around the semicircle. But you see, there isn't anything a human mind says is the truth. That's why when he says, you've got so-and-so, he's just talking. And you either hear him or you don't hear him. And in like manner, Jesus said the same thing. Jesus said to you, ask whatsoever you will and it shall be done unto you. Why, that's enough to set the average person free. It's like Alibaba on the 40 feet. If he could just get into that thing and take these things. Don't you think I'd take it if I could? But you can't. For the simple reason that you do not believe. Well, is belief something that you screw your mind up into, or something like that? No. Do you believe that tomorrow morning is coming? I think so. The sunrise, are you concerned about the amazing thing that must take place in the universe in order that the sun will arise? Are you going to lie awake tonight? About no. Yeah, then what is it that you do? Well, you believe the sun's going to rise, don't you? Does that make it rise? No. But that makes the perfect agreement with it, and it takes place. And Jesus said, whatsoever you believe, ask whatsoever you will in my name, and it shall be given unto thee. But there are a lot of things added to it, and one of them is belief. And whether you believe this, or whether you hear it's a newfangled idea that they're trying to put over down there on Georgia Street, and they can work all kinds of tricks with it. And you, if you can get the right answer, if you can get these things, then you can do that. Or whether you begin to see that you're emerging into that, it's exactly like a drop of water goes into the sea. That you begin to see that God is one. And it is a one thing. It is not myriads of things. It is a one life. And you live, move, breathe, and have your being. Now you've heard that cliche a thousand times over. All right, then you can't be sick. But you are sick. And he said, it's very easy for you to stand up there and say that. Very easy. I say it from a man that laid everything on the table that he said. There was no foolishness about Jesus Christ at all. When he said bread, he put bread on the table. When he said wine, he put wine on the table. When he said gold, he put gold on the table. And he said, go and do it. But you can't. Because you don't believe. You have the wisdom of man. And you think maybe it is screwing your mind into some shape that is going to make you demonstrate. Nobody's going to demonstrate God, no matter how much he may talk about it. I am so glad that that is the truth. Because the world would be in chaos in 5 minutes if people could manhandle God and make him fulfill their wishes. He said, I'll give you the desires of your heart if you can take them. But if you can't take it, you can't take it. And that's all there is to it. I'm sorry. And the man that hasn't studied or read or anything will take them and will see them. You will, will you receive your health? That's a question that nobody can answer but you. There's nothing else to it. It's yes or no. I don't care what you say. I don't care how this thing is built up. I don't care how much you must answer to the teacher to make that right. And say certain things. If you can't take your substance, you can't have it. And so you can work it out by the sweat of your brow. It's all right. It's the Adam teaching. And it's so. But when you, this magnificent creation of God, you created in the image and likeness of God, period. So, when you, this funny old thing, and you tried and you done everything you could to try to make this thing work. I'm going to try to get a hold of that. I'm going to be famous. I'm going to be successful. You can't help it. You see, fame is not a thing that you work for. Many people work for it, and they have to hold it there. But the fame of this thing goes abroad, and it is you. It functions through you. And it's what the world calls success, and it's a hopeless thing. You've had the failure, you've had the struggle, and you think you have to ask a man, would I ask a man permission to perform if I believe I have sent of God? No man. I would ask nobody. I have been all over this world, and I've never asked anybody yet. I don't intend to begin to ask anybody permission to perform. You don't have to. But you certainly must understand, in a way, why it is that you don't have to ask, and why when the power of God passes through you, it produces after its time. So as life passes through your body, like the wind passes through the screen, and the sun passes through the window pane, so does this glorious health that you call health, a degree of the thing. Of course, I don't believe in health, and I'd be glad if you lost your health, and lost your wealth, too, if you're going to depend on those things. because health is just a little bit of life that you've got shut up in here that you're taking very good care of. And life is a thing that comes in and out and blows through you like the wind that blows right this way. And no man shall say, whither goest thou? You can't hold on to disease. I don't care whether it's ancestral or not. It cannot. You cannot hold on to poverty in the presence of God. It's impossible. It's impossible for you to have it. This is the hypnosis of the human mind. And so he said that the wisdom of man is foolishness in the eyes of God. Well, that's true. I remember when I was at home, and we were cleaning out the library. I always have to laugh when we call it library. I think we had an enormous amount of 500 or 600 books, but it was a library. And we also had a back library that didn't have a book in it. I never understood that as I looked back on it. We had the library, and we had another little room there. We called that the back library. It sounds very grand when you're talking about it. You think you had thousands of books. But when I was there, Mother said to me, why don't we get rid of a lot of useless books and make some room for some fresh things? So I said, all right. So among those, I found an old physics book. You know, did you ever, over at some of your school books, your notations on the side of the page and a few things like that? They're quite interesting, really. And I was reading in there, and I saw about a half a dozen equations in that physics book that I had to perform, things you had to perform in the little laboratory that were wrong. Now, I'm not trying to discount education or anything of the kind, but I'm telling you that this stuff and rubbish that you have filled your mind up, that you can be sick, that you can be this, that you can't, that people can take your job or your expression away from you, that you can't have money. I don't say money just to run your fingers through money. I say substance, so that wherever you go, to the uttermost parts of the earth, there, right there. I'm not talking about in the Bank of England. I am talking about somewhere away out in the desert. In the time necessary, could you take that? Could you believe that? Or have you been kidding yourself all this time? And you've been following a thing called religion or teaching or something like that? Do you really believe? Well, you have to ask yourself these questions to see, because it is the most marvelous thing in the world when you begin to, in a small way. And how much belief does it take? How much? Have you got to study years and years? It said if you had this grain of mustard, you could do it. Very interesting. It doesn't say that you have to have an understanding that would be so amazing to the average person. It says if you just believed that there was something bigger than your pin-headed mind, if you can ever get people to believe that God is bigger than their little mentality. Oh, that sounds like you're being facetious and making a play on words. I'm not. That's the truth. That little old human thing that started out from the Garden of Eden and decided that he could create. And he's created nothing but chaos all the way down. That little old pin-headed thing. And it has worn one robe after another. It has worn one garb after another. It is interesting. They work around with the reincarnation, you see. And it isn't very hard to find out incarnations with people. I very often, when I come in their presence, I very often get things like that. They stand around there, you know. And sometimes a memory of an old incarnation will come up and they'll say, how different you are today. Yes. You regressed a little bit in your mind to that old picture you had there. You've got all these old pictures in your mind. And you carried all this old stuff with you. And then when you touch this Christ, this is the magnificent. You're through. You are a new creature. I did not say an old creature passed up. I did not say that you are going to perform some miracle of rejuvenation that is going to make people say, oh, look. I don't know, you may fold your hands and go silently away like the Arab did. We are not concerned what anybody else thinks at all. You're very concerned with yourself, you have a chance. It's coming awfully close to you now, as it has never come before. We are in the age. 1959 is a golden year for anybody that can take it. But I don't know whether you can take it or not. If your mind is like that, no. Nothing you grab. You're going to take it or you're not going to take it. You take it. You accept it. What do? Right away then, you run out to see if anything's happened. Nothing's going to happen. It's all spoiled. Look for no sign. Because when you're looking for a sign, you do not believe. And when you accept a thing and forget it, it is like throwing a seed into the ground. And it rots. Oh, I don't want to make a little demonstration for you. We're in such an effulgence. There is such a golden age here now. It is just magnificent. I don't want you just to have a little demonstration of a few dollars or a few cents or something like that. That substance thing is there within you. You begin to recognize that. And it comes out in the form and shape and manner that is essential at that time. Well, you see, we have had such so many experiences with the Adam teaching and the ancestor teaching that you're so hypnotized. When I would do good, evil is present with me. It is just my luck. It always happens. This is the talk of a man, the Adam man. It's so easy for you to catch cold. It's so easy for you to catch a contagious disease. And the wonderful part about it is. And you are using every one of the laws, every single law that Jesus gave you, whereby to bring the kingdom of heaven in. He said, "I take it and don't think anything about it." So you say, "Oh, well, everything always goes wrong." And it does. And you take it in such a nonchalant, lovely manner. You say, "Well, I never could do that." And you can't. You don't know what you're doing to yourself. That's why he said, "Awake, thou that sleepest." And Christ, that substance, that Christ consciousness, shall give thee light. Not maybe, or not perhaps, or not because you've been good, bad, or indifferent. You get no more because you've been a wonderful practitioner, a teacher, helped thousands of people, than a person that has done nothing at all. You only get what you can take. I'm not inviting you to do evil with the idea that you can turn around and do good. I know that you're not quite that stupid. But I know there isn't a person anywhere. I don't care where it is. And that includes you, if you can take it. And he said, "Be whole," period. That's all there isn't anymore. Now you can argue the rest of your life about it. "Well, I know, but, if, and, maybe, what." Well, I don't care what you know. It's just that old human mind talking. It says the world is round, and here comes another, says the shape of fair. What are you going to do in the midst of things? Who are you going to believe? As for man, his days are few and full of trouble. That's beautiful. Then there's another group that want to go to heaven. That's another beautiful group. They're all getting ready. They expect to meet God, shake hands with him, and get their reward for the little good they did. Think that's stupid? You don't hear what's been said to you. Jesus Christ said, "This is the kingdom of heaven. You're not going anywhere. And you'll keep dying and dying and dying and dying until one day you'll stop it and begin to see that this is the kingdom of heaven. Right here. I don't know what you can do with it. That is the law. I didn't make it up. I don't care whether you believe it or not. It's an individual equation. It's up to you. It is the most amazing thing when you stop to think about it. But here comes this magnificence and says and gives you these laws so simple, so natural, so normal, and you begin to heap in all this ancestor teaching in that thing and try to make it. I can't see. What is sight? Would anybody define sight? Do you know what it is? Is it in the eye? Is it in the brain? Well, where is it? Well, what is it? The thing that you call sight. Where was it before there was any eye? Where did it exist then? What was it? That's all. This is all the teaching of Jesus Christ. So he said, I go to my Father. He knew that everything is in the One. And the minute he went back there with poor eyesight, and it dissolved into the One, his vision was perfect. Can you take that? Or do you have to hold your nose and make some words? Where is sight? Where is your hearing? You ask yourself, where is it? It's in your ear? No, because some people have ears and can't hear. And some people have eyes and can't see. Where is it? Where is hearing? Where was it before there was anything created? It's still there. It's that undefined God, that substance, that great thing that comes up. And it is stopped down to a point of visibility. When it comes down through this thing, it crystallizes and it stays there as long as you have it in your thoughts. That is the teaching of Jesus Christ. No man, no book. It's you. It says, be still upon your bed. Be quiet. Go in and shut the door. Be quiet. Stop talking to me. Be quiet. Be very quiet. Pretty soon, you'll begin to see, and you'll make the assumption. You'll make the assumption of the thing. And pretty soon, you'll begin to see. A little. Well, remember, only takes as big as a grain of mustard for you to do this, but you can't demonstrate. And nobody's going to call you wonderful and say you are a great teacher, or a great practitioner, or a great healer. You already left them. See, we're all through with that. You got to live in this thing called heaven, right here and now. And you got to have a substance to live with, and you can't make it. A boy came to my house 3 years ago and told me, he said, we have nothing in our house to eat. I said, well, what are you going to do about it? He has a wife and a child. He's got nothing to do. So I sat down, and we were talking a little bit. He knew the truth, but he just was going to come to that point. Well, I said, you take these bags here, these shopping bags, and you go into my kitchen, and you take every available bit of food there is in the pantry and everything else. Don't leave one morsel of food in this house. So he filled 3 or 4 of these bags, and he went out, and I said, don't you dare ever come into my presence again until you come with some kind of a consciousness. That is of God. He said, I don't understand you. I said, you will get quiet. He works for Howard Hughes now at $12,000 a year. Magic. White magic? Nothing. Can you take it? Oh, of course I can. Well, see, when you begin to see this thing, it's not a newfangled idea. It's just you, this funny little old thing. It's been running around so important to itself with so many ideas. It's going to do, I can do all things through Christ Jesus. You hear that? Hear it? I mean, did you hear it? Or did you just hear the word? You believe it? Oh, yes, but. No, you don't believe it. I can do all things, not something. And the moment that you see that thing, dare you to appropriate that, so would the power come right out into manifestation. I was telling you about the pictures, because they were very interesting. Because I was working a little bit on the Kipling idea of what Kipling said regarding writing. And he said, when they asked him, you know, I told you this. He said that I don't write, I look at my pen, write. And H.G. Wells says, I write like I walk, I want to get somewhere. And the clever Frenchman says, I write from left to right, so and so. But this one thing says, I'm absent from the body. And just as soon as you get absent from this pinheaded intellect that you have, that couldn't write a line, and can watch your pen, and forget this pinheaded intellect that has no education, no training, no breeding, no culture, no anything, but it's so essential for writing. Otherwise, you'll just be putting down words, and they'll last just a little while, and whatever became of that. So he said, I watched my pen. So I was telling you, as I was telling you about it, a girl came, and she said that she wanted to write, she wanted to paint. I said, go ahead and paint. She said, all right, I will. A boy came up after that. She said, I want to paint. I said, well, go ahead and paint. So I said, well, another woman came up. Well, anyway, there were 8 or 9 of them came up, and I said, go ahead. You know, being very magnanimous. I said, go ahead. They all went home and did it. I'm not talking about making some silly picture. I'm talking about making saleable stuff. So I thought, if they're going to do it, I'll do it. So I started. And so I was going to bring you down a half a dozen pictures tonight, but I didn't have anybody to help me. So as a sort of, come on, whatever they, what do they call that word? It's a word, bless you for it. What is it? Yes. Anyway, it's a suspense. And it keeps you a little in suspense, and then you'll probably say, we've got to be there next time. And that's what I try to do, to fill a room if I can. Right. But anyhow, this is what it is. You see, well, I'm going to bring them down and show you. I'm going to bring you down. And I don't paint with a brush. I put paint in the palm of my hand, and I have a teaspoon, so it sounds like it's going to be a recipe for a cake or something. I have a teaspoon full of turpentine, and I put my hand up like that in front of the canvas, and wait and see, and it goes, well, it sounds like I'm being foolish, but I'll let you see the picture, you can say it for yourself. There's one there that the sea jumps right out of the way. And nearly outside the frame. Well, anyway, they are so good, I have to praise myself a little bit. They are so good that a company in Los Angeles wants to take them and exhibit them and sell them. I'm telling you this because I don't have to sell them. We don't have to do any of those things at all. We have to. I'm just telling you this because it's there. And he said, whatsoever, you, this funny old thing, you, this limited thing, you, this thing that has done everything, I can do all things through Christ Jesus. Christ Jesus, what is that, a historical character? Is that somebody that lived, a man that lived in Jerusalem? Yes. But the Christ Jesus that he spoke about is the Word made flesh and flesh made spirit, which makes a third substance. The merging of spirit and matter gives a third substance through which, oh, I'm getting very technical now, through which this universal God can be stepped down to a point of visibility. It is a conductor, or to use a very inelegant expression, it's like a frigidaire, into which you can put a beautiful pink cloud and take it out in a highball glass. That's a dirty thing to say it. Well, it's a good illustration anyway. You are that thing between. We are in a new age. Wherever you are, I don't care where you are or what you're doing or at what time, if you will stop trying to demonstrate or make some magic happen and let it happen, it will take place in the most amazing way. If you follow through and look for no sign, the seed that's dropped in the ground. Well, this girl that came and said that, she had never had a brush in her hand. And she could paint your picture so that anybody that knew you casually would recognize you, and in 2 hours' time, turn out a credible portrait. I said, how do you do that anyway? She said, I don't know. It's the last thing I could think of. I am telling you this. There is a little woman there that you would imagine that she would like to crochet more than anything else, something like that, you know. And she, I thought, well, when she painted, she's going to paint something like a little postcard, you see. No. She flashes a lot of banana trees on a canvas there that are so modern that they make you think of Picasso. I say these things. I have nothing to tell you. I do not want you for followers. I am sent as you are sent, and we met at the crossroads right here for the purpose of agreement. If you don't take it, it's too bad. That's all I can say to you. Not from any person. Because, as Jesus said, I of myself can do nothing, and I know that so well. I'm so helpless as a Christian to do anything. Yet through this embodiment, through you, this magnet heals it, period. No explanation. No instruction. You hear it or you don't. If you don't hear it, you're still saying, but I don't, I... All right. Nothing. And one of these days, you are going to hear because you are going to believe. And when you believe, you will give to every man what he asks. And if he comes to you in that place, you will be able to speak the word. And what is the word? The word is, I will. You ever think about that? Here is a man with a pulse. Well, you have to do a little thinking. I mean, you have to do a little work yourself. And the centurion, this magnificent thing, you see, all in gold and scarlet, you can see him standing, and with his prancing horses, standing there, driving up across the desert sand, and he comes into the presence of this thing in white. What a picture. You ever think about that? To me, the Bible just turns out those magnificent pictures. He dashes up to this magnificence in white. Here he is standing there, the Roman centurion. And he said, my servant lies at home sick of the palsy. Servants were a dime a dozen. Why does this centurion, this magnificent thing, standing there in all his glory, why did he drive across the desert to ask this Jesus to heal his servant? You see, you must begin to look beyond the words and see the secret that I have put there for you. It is not to be given to the wise and prudent. It is not to be given to the intellectual. It is to be given to you when you begin to see what is hidden away and how these words, the letter, cracks open and the revelation takes place. So he said, I'll come to your house. No, you don't need to come to my house. This is true. People talking to each other, real people. He said, just speak the word. The word is, all right, let us I will. And certainly sealed himself came out. These are the things that the beloved gave you. These are the things that work. These are the things that you, this foolish old thing, are this great intellect. These are the things that can operate through you. So he said, heal the sick. Raise the dead. Period. How? Go in, shut the door. Stop talking. See what it would say to you. Well, I don't know. It's never said anything to me. I never could. Well, I know it, you see. But you're such a successful failure. What is it that makes you a success? Why is it that everything always happens wrong for you? You are so successful in bringing that to pass. You admit it. Nothing ever works out. And then instead of rejoicing that it never works out, you're mad about it. But you are using the great law, and with a simplicity and natural, could you take the substance with the same ease and with the same nonchalance and with the same abandon, you could see it manifest in your life. But not if you were looking for it. Because if you were looking for it, that would be because you did not believe, and it would not happen. So he said, leave all and follow me. And then he said, well, you can't, what are you going to do, Philip? You've got 5,000 hungry men here. Philip, I rather entreat me as a disciple or somewhere or other. He's got a nice name there, too. And he meant that he stood for something, but he said, I don't know what to do. He'd been 3 years and he hadn't heard it. He said, Jesus, 3 years, he hadn't heard. So he said, well, we got 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And as I've mentioned to you before, well, I don't know what about those fish, because that was the heat of the desert. And from my experience with fish, they wouldn't be so nice after 2 or 3 days. But anyway, we'll skip that. That's just an idle thought of an idle person. But anyway, he had 5 loaves and 2 fishes there. And so he says, that couldn't go around for 5,000 people. 3 days out in the desert. They can't go and get bread. What you gonna do? Here's the mystery. He knew what he was going to do, so he went to the Father. Where'd he go? Geographically, he went, and physically, he went nowhere. He was standing right before these people. Now, what is his transition? His transmutation, what is it? He went unto the Father. In other words, a drop of water went to the sea. In other words, he instantly let go of every preconceived notion he had. And when he comes back, there is no such a thing as a problem there, because that lasts. How long does it last? Just until they're filled. It's gone. The next morning he said, where's the bread? No bread. You see, you must begin to read what the beloved said to you. Instead of taking volumes, if you were going to take one thing and get a hold of that within yourself and see what the scriptures has to say under the churches, see what that thing has to say to you, you and nobody else at all, you. To him that has shall be given. It's one thing. That's consciousness. He can't help it. Just like a donut machine. Keep turning it out and turning it out. Oh. Can't help it. Doesn't make any sense. If you have a matrix of anything, it'll come all over the place. You won't be able to get rid of it. Fill everything. I don't care what it is. Books? Yeah. Books will come in from everywhere. Doesn't make any sense. It's no trick. This is the law. You have a matrix. You accept it. If you accept the book out here by itself, you've got this one thing. But if you have the idea, if you can take it, if you can take substance, it will manifest in whatever form is necessary. I didn't say maybe or perhaps. I didn't say if you screwed your mind into all kinds of funny shapes to make it happen. You are confronted with a thing. Do you believe? Do you? All right. Do you believe? Have you got, is there any sick among you? Can you see how utterly impossible it is to hold on to disease in the presence of that thing? Right while we are standing in this formation, you see, you're doing something else. That's very funny, that we don't see the things that's going on. And he said they were gathered together in one place, their own accord, and they were baptized by the Holy Ghost. That's what we came in here by own accord. So, whether you know it or not, you have been baptized by the Holy Ghost. And maybe you think it's symbolic. But, in spite of everything you can do, there is an illumination or a sense of light that has taken place in you. Or it is there, it is penetrating. And when it is recognized, ask whatsoever you will in my nature, and that give I unto thee. This is something beyond all. Got nothing to do with what you think. Nothing at all. Because you don't believe this. You say, I'd like to see it. You can't see it. You've got nothing to see it with. That'll be impossible for you to see. You can't see success for yourself because you have learned that success comes through hard labor and work and all that sort of thing. And you read, the thing that I just like to read more than anything else is success stories. Because I read about how this man was a poor man and he came and he didn't have anything, a poor child, he had no chance, he was beaten and kicked around and everything else, and he finally got a little job and he saved a few pennies and he worked, and at night he couldn't go anywhere, and in the daytime he couldn't go anywhere. And he saved, and he put these pennies, and worked. And finally, he got started, and finally he worked. And finally he became a millionaire and died. I'd just rather take my 10 cents and go out and have 6 cents. What's the good of that? And that's the way people think about it. Oh, very successful man. I said, how so? Fuck, that's $1 million. No life, no happiness. Oh, now don't get me wrong. You could have $1 million and have happiness too. There's no reason why you shouldn't have it. Not a reason in the world. But what can you take of this beautiful thing? I mean, at least, quite, you can take this sense of life, can't you? Can't you accept that life passing through your body, as you walk through it, and it walks through you, like the fish swims in the ocean, and the ocean goes through the fish. Is there anything strange about that? That life is just as present here as it is in the corner of the room over here, or up in the sky, or under the earth. There is life everywhere, and you walk through it. But we thought we took this little bit over here with us. Keeps going down all the time. And that's freshness. And you know what's going to happen? That's the thing that will eventually come out and change the whole picture. Because you are to be changed. And now we're working this thing, beginning to make the recognition and the recognition and the recognition within yourself. This is the kingdom of heaven. So beautiful. And I dove down this morning, I thought, God, is there any question about this being heaven? I drove down along the coastline this morning and I said, there's not a bit of doubt. But this is literally, actually, and physically, and spiritually, and mentally, the kingdom of heaven. I'm not going anywhere. At last, after all these years of trying to make something, well, they said, they're getting ready to go to heaven. And they live for heaven. and the sinful world and all that sort of thing. But if you were to take out a six shooter and say, well, all right, I'll help you there. Don't call for help. Help for me. Why? What's the matter? Well, it's about to shoot me. I said, well, I just want to go to heaven. See that old thing? The wisdom of man is foolishness in the eyes of the gods. He doesn't know anything else, and that's a sucker piece. That's a sock. He said, well, for all I put up with in this world, I'll get heaven afterwards. They'll say, good boy, come in. That's all that human mind can do. It doesn't know what else to do. It's so frustrated today. Do you know that we're living in a period of frustration that's so great that you meet nobody in the business world or anything else that don't start right away to tell you a story of frustration? Why, it's just terrific all over the place. Why? Because we're at the end of this dispensation. There's a new thing that is coming now. It is a recognition of the divinity, your divinity, you, this golden being, this thing, this unborn thing, created in the image and likeness of God, a little lower than the angels, a little lower than the great forces that emanate out of this center called God, pass through you. I can do all things through the recognition of this Christ. And it's so simple. Well, I wish I could remember what you said. Well, I told you, you can have it on tape if you can take it. If you can't take it, you can't take it. So maybe better sell it to you, $40 a piece. Maybe then you'd appreciate it. Something like that goes on in this crazy human mind. Who are you? Where are you going? Well, did I tell you that story? You know, I'm English, really, basically. I was born in America, but I am English, and the English love to tell their jokes over and over again. And we always laugh at our jokes, no matter how they got whiskers from here to China. We you can tell a joke over and over. So I may have told you this, and maybe you're not going to laugh about it. But anyhow, it was a story of a man that never had done any good deeds in his life at all. And he finally died, and he went up to the gates, and St. Peter was there, and he said, what do you want? I never said that way, and I thought God did. But anyhow, he said, what do you want? He said, I want to get into heaven. Well, he said, you can't get into heaven. He said, you've never done anything good. He said, I did too. But he said, what'd you do? He said, I gave a man a nickel. So St. Peter went back, he saw Noah sitting there, and he said to Noah, there's a man out here who's getting heaven. He said, well, have you done any good deeds? He said, well, he gave a man a nickel once. So Noah reached down his pocket and took out a nickel and gave him. He said, you gave him this nickel back and got him to get out of hell. Well, anyhow. I want to tell you something wonderful about this thing that we're talking about. You must see that it has a joyous sense. It must have joy. It must have humor. It must have that thing. That thing that is so serious. It's so frozen. It's so cold. And this thing is like that. So it says, whatsoever you ask in my name, that give I unto thee. Not maybe, or not perhaps, but if you could take it, if you could possibly accept it. And the seed goes into the ground, and in that place Jesus said to them, trying to wake them, interesting the way he tried to approach them, finally said, you fool you? And that's pretty much for Jesus to say. And he said, don't you know that a seed has to be cast into the ground and rot before it should be made alive? What is the seed? The seed is the desire. What is the shell? It's all the human thought. I don't know how I'm going to get it. I don't see how I can get it. I'm not worthy of it. I would have to work for it. I would have to do 10,000 things for that thing. That's the shell around this seed. And they, you fool, he said, throw it in the ground and let that thought rot off of it. And then that's okay. See, this is all written. See, you have it all for you to take. Now, if we will just stay a minute, we will make the acceptance, because, as I said to you, they were gathered together in one place of their own accord, even as you and I came in here of our own accord. You are in the baptism. Fire descends from heaven. It's beautiful symbology, but real. And consumes the burnt offering, all your old ideas. Let go, let go, let them go. They are consumed. And the glory of the Lord fills the earth. Can you hear me? I'm speaking from 2,000 years. Whatsoever you ask. For light, yes. Light is given unto you. And that light will show you. And that light will reveal to you many things. But I accept. You cannot forget. Because I will recall you. Take it. Accept it. Don't be afraid of it. I will recall you whatsoever I have said unto you. I don't know how, I don't know why, but I know that it is so. So as we have stood on the point of agreement, two shall agree as touching, and it shall be established on the earth. This is our agreement. Everything looking towards you, receive this direct effulgence of light. Everyone upon whom your thought rests for the instant has the opportunity of touching this golden being. You are the golden being. You are the beloved of God. You are the unborn. You are created in the image and likeness of God. Can you hear me? It is well with you. It is well with your house. It is well with your universe.